We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Building fire in South Wichita. We've got the story.
Fired FBI deputy director is suing the Justice Department. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details are just ahead.
I'm Phil Hildebrand. Police are asking for the public's help in solving a robbery of a woman in Northeast Wichita.
I'm Rodney Price. The debate got heated Tuesday during the Wichita City Council meeting.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. With a weak frontal boundary nearby this morning, we could see an isolated shower or thunderstorm, but our weather dries out over the next few days. Our forecast is coming up.
President Trump called Senate Republicans from Air Force One, and Vice President Pence briefed Senate Republicans and top House Republicans on the talks with North Korea. But lawmakers on Capitol Hill have mixed reactions.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he expects Congress to play a role if the Trump administration reaches a final deal. The Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer sounded quite skeptical, saying what he has seen so far is short on details.
With the lack of details, we are worried that Kim Jong-un is getting something for nothing, which is fine for him, but not fine for the safety of the citizens of the United States.
Part of that skepticism may also be due to history, since the North Koreans made promises during the Clinton and George W. Bush administrations and did not follow through. On Capitol Hill, Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
A building fire this morning in South Wichita. It was in the 1300 block of South Mosley. A passing police officer spotted flames around 12:30 in the morning. Here's Fire Chief Tammy Snow.
We fought the fire actually from the exterior just due to excessive storage and then trying to gain access. Once we actually found a vantage point into the building, we were able to pull our hose lines inside and actually put the fire out.
There were no injuries. We have no word on a cause nor damage estimate.
Wichita police are asking for the community's help in solving a robbery of a woman by two suspects in Northeast Wichita.
Officer Charlie Davidson says the incident started around 4:15 Tuesday afternoon in the parking lot of the Walmart in the 3000 block of North Rock Road. A 66-year-old woman told police she was approached by an unknown female who asked her for a ride to the Walgreens in the 3700 block of North Woodlawn. Davidson says video footage from Walmart showed the woman and the suspect being followed out of the parking lot by a man in a silver Cadillac STS. Upon arriving at Walgreens, the male suspect got out of the Cadillac and into the victim's car. Investigators say the couple robbed the victim at gunpoint, taking her wedding ring and cash from her purse. The suspects then forced the woman to drive to a nearby bank and withdraw $8,000 from her bank account. They then got away in the silver Cadillac. Anyone with any information is asked to call Crime Stoppers at 267-2111 or the WPD Robbery Division at 268-4518. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
There was a considerable debate at yesterday's Wichita City Council meeting.
The question was, which pool would be renovated, Edgemore or McAdams Park? There was an outpouring of support for McAdams from adults and children alike.
We want this pool. We're begging you for this pool. Please, let us have our pool.
Councilman Johnson from District 1 and Clendenin from District 3 were in favor of the McAdams pool, but Mayor Jeff Longwell and others wanted more information.
So I'm not ready to support until I get a better analysis and I have staff that is saying this is the perfect place to put it, because I'm not willing to take a $4 million gamble.
Councilman Blueball then proposed a substitute motion to return the $4 million to the city. The mayor countered with another substitute motion to defer the vote, which failed 3-4. The council then voted to place the pool at McAdams, which also failed. Finally, the mayor put forth a motion to postpone a vote indefinitely until the council and Parks Department could gather more information. That vote passed unanimously. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Firefighters continue to battle a wildfire known as the 416 fire near the San Juan National Forest in Durango, Colorado. It started the 1st of June and spans over 23,000 acres. Fire is only 15% contained. Jamie Knight, a public information officer, shares some of the logistics for containing the flames.
I can tell you there are 917 personnel on the fire, but that does include all the support staff. So I don't have a number right here in front of me of exactly how many firefighters there are, but, you know, pushing the limits of 1,000 folks working on the fire in some capacity.
So far, no structures have been destroyed, but the fire has forced more than 2,000 people from their homes.
Fired FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is suing the Justice Department.
Lawyers for former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe announcing late Tuesday they are suing the Justice Department and the FBI, claiming the agencies won't give up files relating to McCabe's firing, alleging in the lawsuit that the DOJ is denying access because they are concerned the documents could later be used against them. McCabe was fired in March, just shy of his retirement, after an internal report found he leaked a self-serving story to the press and later lied about it. While President Trump called McCabe's firing a great day for democracy, McCabe's lawyers argue it violated federal law. In Washington, Sean Langel, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
The Royals and the Reds matched up last night. Not a meeting you see very often. We'll give you a recap coming up in sports.
Americans are giving more. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Jeffrey Weeks, an employee with the city's Public Works and Utilities Department, has been honored by the Wichita Police Department. Deputy Chief Anna Hatter says the incident happened in late March.
He was mowing on the north side of the river when he witnessed a male throw a female onto the ground and begin striking her with his fists. As the violent attack continued, Jeffrey began honking his horn to distract the suspect from the attack. This technique was successful and allowed the victim to escape. Officers quickly moved into the area, located and arrested the suspect.
For his actions, Weeks was presented an outstanding citizen's plaque.
A surging stock market and low unemployment are making Americans more charitable.
Americans are breaking records when it comes to giving. In 2017, charitable donations in the United States topped the $400 billion mark for the first time ever, up 5.2% from 2016, according to the Giving USA report released on Tuesday. The biggest increase was among philanthropists and the mega-rich, giving to their own foundations. Education, health, arts and culture, environment, and public society groups all saw increases. One area to see a drop? International affairs. Despite the new record, the average giving per individual remained at about 2% of income. Kevin Battle, Fox News.
A South Florida family mourns the death of a loved one, apparently attacked by an alligator, as she walked her dog near a lake west of Fort Lauderdale.
The family of 47-year-old Shizuka Matsuki was horrified to learn she died earlier this week when an alligator emerged from a lake inside a nature preserve in the town of Davie, Florida, and attacked her. Police made the gruesome discovery after reports of her being dragged under. It happens to be the mating season for gators, and the giant reptiles are a bit more aggressive. But this lake had been under watch for increased gator activity as of late. It is also nearly 2 years since a boy playing near a lagoon at Walt Disney World was dragged under to his death. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:09, 9 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And this morning, in gasoline prices here in Wichita, we're right around $2.70 a gallon. That seems to be an average. I did spot $2.69 this morning at Maple and West. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. We're keeping an eye on a weak frontal boundary that stretched into central Kansas. Some cloud cover across much of the state, and near that boundary, we could see a shower or thunderstorm through late morning. Otherwise, our high warms to 89. Partly cloudy tonight, down to 72. Heating up tomorrow, windy Thursday and 96. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now, partly cloudy, 74 degrees. We have a northeast wind at 9 miles per hour. Steve and Ted in the morning on this Wednesday, June 13th. 2018, 10 years ago today, Tim Russert, moderator of NBC's Meet the Press, died suddenly while preparing for his weekly broadcast. Tim Russert was 58 years old. The North Korea summit is now history, and it's time for folks to react to it. And there's been a lot of reactions so far. That agreement signed by President Trump yesterday, an agreement between Trump and the North Korean dictator, This morning, Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland is with us, gauging some of that reaction. Good morning, Rachel. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Well, good morning. Yeah, the president is calling this a success and saying that North Korea really no longer poses a threat to the United States, but others aren't quite seeing it that way. Even within his own party, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell describing the summit as a first step, but he says our eyes are wide open. I think there's a lot of concern about North Korea going back on promises. Kim Jong-un is not his father, but at the same time, his father did, we have to note, break agreements with both President Bill Clinton and President George W. Bush. So there is concern about that, although, you know, most Republicans, it seems, the mood is cautious optimism, and that seems really to be the mood around the world as well.
Yeah, but we'd like to cling to something like this. Hope is always something that we'd like to have in our lives, and this was getting pretty scary there. The war of words was going on, and the dictator of the North Korea just kept firing these missiles out into the ocean, and it was getting pretty scary.
Right. It was just about a year ago when President Trump made the fire and fury remark. And so that came after months of, right after he got into office, pretty much, Kim Jong-un started firing off these missiles about once a month. And then later on came the threats on Guam and everything that was late in the summer. And so then by spring of this year, things had changed. There had been discussions about a summit, and then the summit did happen. And so with all the hairpin turns that we've seen, the two leaders going from calling each other names, or little rocket man and daughter and so on, to actually meeting together, shaking hands and sitting down together and talking, that's really incredible. So, but again, that's another reason for caution going forward because of all of these changes through over, you know, the past year and a half, that things could fall apart. And in fact, the news agency in Korea, Korean news agency, the Korean Central News Agency, reporting that North Korea's positioning going home from this summit is different than ours, and that the people are being told that we're going to roll back sanctions, that there's going to be kind of a point-for-point type of process together, that the U.S. is going to be conceding stuff. And so I don't know if that's a rumble of thunder that we should be aware of, or if it's more Kim Jong-un, you know, wanting to save face with his people.
Cautious optimism from with the president's fellow Republicans on Capitol, but the Democrats out there are not saying anything too good about all this.
No, they're not happy at all. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer called it a big photo op, says there's just not enough detail. And in the document that was signed, there's not a verification portion of it. Now, the White House says that, you know, that's going to come later. But they also, Democrats are saying that doing this gave Kim Jong-un really what he wanted, which is legitimacy on the world stage. That it wasn't so much that Kim Jong-il wouldn't have met with former presidents, but that former presidents didn't want to meet with him. So, but again, the White House is still positioning this as a win, that it was good to meet. But you're not going to change anyone's minds. I mean, these are just the two perspectives I'm laying out here for you.
So now the details as we go forward, I presume that a lot of that work, the heavy lifting is going to be done by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I would imagine he's going to be a crucial member of what's going on, of what's happening
in
the future.
He's got a full plate, because that's really what his job has been. Yeah, leading up to the summit and now after the summit.
Yeah. All right, listen, thank you. We appreciate your time this morning. That's Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland talking about the North Korea summit and continued reaction among on Capitol Hill, especially from members of both parties this morning. Of course, we would all like to say, well, I sure hope this works out. Keep our fingers crossed and go forward with a we hope, a positive attitude. 8:14 now, Steve and Ted on KNSS. Some Massachusetts residents are hoping to set a world record for the largest paper airplane. The Revolving Museum of Fitchburg revealed a 64-foot-long plane at the Fitchburg Municipal Airport yesterday. There was no plan to fly the contraption, so theoretically or in actuality, it isn't really an airplane.
And it's not a flying airplane.
It weighs nearly a ton with all the glue and shellac on it. Fitchburg artist Jerry Beck says he wanted to break the world record for the largest paper airplane to take flight.
It's a piece of art.
Yeah.
It's not an
airplane. He was hoping it would fly, though. But the hangar it was built in was too small to accommodate a wide enough wingspan to support the structure of the airplane, or the thing, whatever it is. A construction crane held the plane aloft.
Oh, so it's a mobile.
Yeah.
Two people measured the plane at 64 feet and 6 inches long, which Beck says makes it the largest of its kind. He's asking Guinness World Records to add a new category. In other words, he wants to win and just change the rules a little bit there, and so he can win.
I've got it, Steve.
You got what you got
this,
the answer
this
here?
Needs to be acquired. This whatever this thing is needs to be acquired by the city of Wichita, and they hang it in the Ruffin Building down at Douglas and Broadway.
That's your idea.
Because they've got that huge thing hanging from the ceiling that's been there now for, what, 40 or 50 years.
That's a Calder.
Yeah.
A Calder mobile. And I was just...
Which is
you
fine.
You know, it's funny because I was...
Let's move that out and put the huge paper airplane. Hang that from there.
Well, and you and I, we hadn't talked about this, but I was kind of thinking the same way while I was reading this story and thinking, what about the Calder.
We can put the Calder somewhere
the
else.
Old, that's the old, Bank 4, Fourth National yeah. Bank building, with the glass structure there.
Douglas
at Broadway,
Broadway
and Douglas.
Yeah.
And, but the largest non-flying paper airplane.
Yeah, let's hang the big paper airplane from there.
Yeah, well.
Tie in with the air capital. Bada boom, bada.
Yeah. But it's not going to be a record, apparently. Okay. Non-flying airplane. All right, it's coming
if
up
we can't
on...
have the 300-foot-tall keeper of the planes.
Yeah, Jack DeBoer wanted to do that.
Yeah, and I was all for that. Can you imagine? That'd be so fantastic.
You could see that from Missouri.
That would be so iconic.
Yeah,
but no.
Nobody wanted to do that. And so we have the keeper is, what, about 60 feet tall, 55 feet, something like that? And so you can see it from a long ways, but not like 300 feet.
Can you imagine?
It would rival the Arch of St. Louis is what he had in mind.
I know.
It'd be something that people would talk about all over the world. It'd
yes.
An Eiffel Tower in the Midwest. So that's that kind of status. All right. But we didn't do it.
We didn't do it.
Not too late. I guess we could do it. 8:18 now, Steve and Ted on KNSS. It's Sports Time with Ted Woodward. Talking about the Wing Nuts and the Kansas City Royals this morning. Right, Ted?
Yeah, a little Royals baseball action last night, taking on a team that they don't play very often. Interleague matchup with the Cincinnati Reds, making only their fourth ever visit to Kansas City. In fact, the Reds had not won a game in Kansas City in 19 years. This one was tight last night. Reds-Royals, it was a 1-0 Royals lead going into the ninth inning. Handing the ball over after 8 strong innings by Ian Kennedy. Give the ball to Kelvin Herrera, who's been really, really strong closer for the Royals all season long. You heard the game on KFH.
And the 2-2 pitch. Belted to right field and deep, and back goes Merrifield at the warning track, at the wall, and gone. Tucker Barnhart. So Barnhart, who had their last hit way back in the sixth, that single, homers into the bullpen and right to tie the game. And what a shame. All of Ian Kennedy's good work now goes down the drain.
Well, you've still got extra innings, but the Reds got a bases-loaded triple in the top of the 10th on their way to a 5-1 comeback win over the Royals. Royals are the worst team in Major League Baseball at home. They have lost 22 of their 32 home games. And overall, the Royals have now dropped 8 out of 9. They're hosting Cincinnati again tonight on the finale of this very brief two-game series. Live pregame coverage begins at 6:30 tonight. Game starts at 7:15. That's on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. By the way, the team name Cincinnati was misspelled on the Royals scoreboard last night as well.
So. Ouch!
Yeah, I guess you can tell they don't come to town very often.
Nope.
Yeah, you would think somebody would know how to spell Cincinnati. Did not work out. A little other Major League action last night. A change in first place atop one division as the Milwaukee Brewers at home shut out the Chicago Cubs 4-0. As Milwaukee overtakes the Cubs for first place in the National League Central. Center fielder for the Brewers is former Royal Lorenzo Cain, who scored 2 of the 4 runs yesterday for the Brewers. Milwaukee has won 3 out of 5 and is now in first place. Get a minor league baseball update on former Wichita State catcher Tyler Baker. He's in single A with the Seattle Mariners. And Baker doing a nice job at catcher last night. He was part of a double play and he threw out a guy trying to steal second base. Former Shocker catcher Tyler Baker getting it done in single A with the Mariners. And pro baseball last night for the Wichita Wingnuts down in Texas taking on the Cleburne Railroaders. The Wingnuts gave up 4 runs right away in the bottom of the first inning. After that, you kind of have to rely on a long stint by the bullpen. That's what the Wingnuts did, and they got results. Wichita's bullpen goes 7 1/3 innings and only gives up one run. And that allowed the offense time to pile up enough to come back and win that game. Wingnuts win it 8-6. That's three wins in a row now for Wichita. The Wingnuts go for their fourth in a row tonight, visiting Cleburne again, game three of that four-game set. Sports with Stephen Ted, KNSS.
8:21 now, keeping it here for the Hannity Morning Minute, Trump's successful summit. That's coming up. Hey, it's time for our Prairie Fire Coffee Break KNSS. Prairie Fire Coffee is the freshest coffee in the Wichita area because Prairie Fire Coffee beans are roasted fresh right here in Wichita. And you can get Prairie Fire Coffee at your office by calling 267-3771 or online at prairiefirecoffee.com.
Coffee break!
6:21 now, Stephen Ted in the morning on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.